Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom's 2012 Q1 investor call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If you'd like to register a question during the conference, press star one on your telephone. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, Mr. Onur Öz. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Hi everyone, welcome to our first quarter 2012 results release. Before I pass the word to our CEO, Hakan Kanafani, I'd like to remind you to please read the notice on our presentation. I will pass the word to Mr. Hakan Kanafani, our Group CEO, to start our conference call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Onur, and a special thank you for the best IR team this side of the Atlantic and the other side of the Atlantic. Hello everybody. My name is Hakan. I would like to take you through our 2012 Q1 results. Of course, thank you for joining us on today's conference call. Let me start by just saying that we had a good first quarter in 2012. This confirmed our ability to deliver strong results and strong performance, and also strong steering of the company despite the challenges we face in some of the markets and some of the mediums where we operate. If we go straight to page, excuse me, straight to page four, just to take you briefly through the highlights of our operational performance, our revenues in the first quarter of 2012 stand at about 3 billion lira, which is an increase of 3% over the same period of last year. Revenue growth was particularly strong in our mobile and fixed broadband segments. Our mobile has increased by 12%. Our group EBITDA margin has reached 42%. It has gone up compared to the last quarter thanks to our robust operating performance and the way we have steered some of the inefficiencies we saw, and we're going to continue to do that throughout the year. Mobile market remained very competitive in the first quarter. However, we increased our revenue and EBITDA by 12% and our subscriber base by 9% compared to last year. This is good news for us because it has been a very competitive and a very aggressive first quarter in the mobile world. In the fixed business, we've launched successful products of fixed broadband initiatives. They're all welcomed by our customers, and it will contribute to our fixed line business growth, and we are very enthusiastic.
Okay, can you hear me better like this? Onur has given me the direction to speak in this microphone. I guess they can hear me, Onur. I will take your word for it. Okay, our fixed broadband subscribers now have reached more than 7 million. This is an increase of 5% over the first quarter of last year. Overall, high-growth businesses again continue to increase their share of our total revenues, and this is, as you know, this is our strategy going forward. Let's go to page five. I'll give you a summary of the consolidated financials in this first quarter. Our consolidated revenues are up 3% year-on-year. This was primarily driven by good growth we achieved in our mobile business and fixed broadband business. This revenue growth came with a strong EBITDA margin at 42%, a level that we are very happy to achieve in this quarter. Our net income grew by 27% year-on-year and reached over 770 million lira. Turkish lira appreciation against the euro and the dollar positively contributed to this growth. Let's go to page six. I'd like to show you our group revenue trends for the last four years. What I want to stress here is how our revenue mix changed over the last couple of years. Share of high-growth businesses like mobile, fixed broadband, and corporate data are increasing. We are focusing on corporate data when we, in the question and answer session. We'll give you a little bit of highlight what we've done and what we are going to do. We're excited about that. The highest proportion of our total revenue in the first quarter was still generated by fixed voice services, but it's obviously seen that revenue share from fixed voice came down to 33% of total revenues in Q1 2012 from 48% in 2009. As we move into high growth businesses, fixed broadband and mobile revenues now generate more than half of the group's total revenue. Those two businesses together grew 7.5% year on year in the quarter and continued to drive our top line growth. And then now, in closing, let me hand over to my colleague, Gokambe, Turk Telecom CEO. He will take you through more details on our fixed business.
Thank you, Gokambe. Good afternoon, everybody. I will give you a brief update on our fixed line business performance in the first quarter. On slide 8, we have revenue and EBITDA information for fixed line business. Overall, our fixed line revenue stayed flat year over year. Mainly growth in ADSL and data service revenues offset the decline in PSTN revenues. Within the quarter, we successfully launched some exciting fixed broadband initiatives. We will see the positive impact of these initiatives in the coming quarters. In addition to this, our upsells to higher packages in fixed broadband continues. There was also a price increase in unlimited fixed broadband packages effective April 1st. All these factored in, we expect our fixed line revenues to be back on track of providing us good growth. Fixed line EBITDA margin stayed strong over 50% in the quarter. As you know, personal cost is one of the major cost items in the fixed line business, and it stayed at 21% of total fixed line revenues. Access lines per employee increased to 621 in Q1 2012 from 617 in Q1 2011, which is also a good indicator of increased efficiencies. Overall, we are one of the most efficient fixed line operators in the region. Now, page 9, we look at the revenue stabilization efforts in fixed voice. We continued brand partnerships with the leading brands of Turkey. Our fixed line customers enjoyed discount benefits in many areas. We will continue new partnership and loyalty programs while continuing to do more micro-segmentation of the market. On the top left chart, you can see the trend for minute bundle packages and recurring fee in fixed voice business. The good trend here is that share of home advantage bundle package is increasing in our customer base. Now 51% of our PSTN base is in bundled packages. Share of fixed fee in the PSTN revenue is at 71%. On the bottom left chart, you can see numbers for total access lines and PSTN ARPU. We have a total of 15 million access lines. Although PSTN lines continue to decline, we add lines with NEC DSL customers. And DSL subscribers grew 36% quarter over quarter and reached 328,000 lines. If you look at ARPU levels, you see that PSTN ARPU is now at 22.3 Turkish lira. We achieved ARPU growth both on a quarter-over-quarter basis and on a year-over-year basis. As you remember, effective January 1st, we ended free bundled minutes to mobile destinations campaign, and this supported ARPU growth. Moving on to page 10, we have fixed broadband growth details. Overall, fixed broadband business is growing with increased subscribers and revenues. Fixed broadband revenues grew by 3% year over year to 744 million Turkish lira. Upsells to higher speed and capacity packages continued with net subscriber growth. We added net 238,000 fixed broadband subscribers in the quarter. This is an increase of 5% year over year. Overall, we reached more than 7 million fixed broadband subscribers. Comparing penetration levels in Turkey and Europe, we believe there is still a good growth potential here. On the ARPU, you can see that year over year ARPU stayed flat at 36 Turkish lira and saw a slight decline from Q4 2011 levels. Now on page 11, we look at the evolution of fixed broadband usage and upselling details. On the top left chart, you can see capacity breakdown of ADSL packages. It shows that subscribers are increasingly moving into unlimited packages. Demand for capacity continues to increase, which is a great trend for us because it helps us with upsell. Share of unlimited package customers reached to 66% of total customer base, and remember that this was 53% in Q1 last year. In terms of speed, TTNS up to 8 megabits per second and higher, speed packages are now 92% of subscribers, which implies 14% growth year over year. On the bottom left graphic, you can see the trend ADSL monthly data usage. Average usage stands at 25 gigabit as of March 2012. We are happy to see that customers prefer high speed and capacity packages. This is a brief review of fixed line business performance. Now I'd like to hand the call over to Erkan Akdemir, our CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Gökhan. Good afternoon to you. We started the first quarter of the year in the face of the fierce and increasing competition led by the incumbent, which has put a substantial pressure on the market. Despite this aggression, our revenues reached to the 787 million TL, which is 12% higher on a year-over-year basis. Continued improvement in the revenue trend is mainly driven by increased data revenue, subscriber base, and improved tariff mix. On the other side, thanks to our cost-cutting strategy that we are strongly attached, we managed to keep our EBITDA at 78 million TL with 10% margin in Q1 2012, achieving 12% growth on absolute level compared to the same period of the previous year. Moving on the next slide, our subscriber base grew by 9% compared to the same period of last year, reaching 12.9 million. The growth was particularly strong in the postpaid segment with 14% and almost 700,000 net addition. New and innovative offers in the postpaid segment sustained the leader position of Avaya in Q1 2012 with 44% postpaid customers over its total subscriber base. We continue to offer attractive flat rate minute packages for all directions, and as a result, our MOU in Q1 reached to 20 minutes, which is a new record, and the Avaya has consistently achieved the highest MOU in the market for the past 5 years. As you will see on the next slide, our blended ARPU grew by 4% year-on-year as a result of our continued focus on data and incoming traffic with improved subscriber mix. Postpaid subscribers now have the highest share in our customer base, which had significant contribution on our ARPU. We sustained a stabilized growth trend in a blended ARPU since 2010, despite the aggressive pricing strategy in the market. On the next slide, I would like to share with you some further information on our ongoing transformation journey. We continue investing our network infrastructure to provide the best coverage quality to our customers. Today, we cover 98% of the population in terms of the 2G base station, and with the 70% increase in 3G base station on year-over-year basis, we managed to reach 79% of the population in terms of the 3G services. For improved customer satisfaction and enhanced brand image, we persistently continue to reshuffle, reshape, and strengthen with devices our shops. Within this context, number of exclusive dealers reached 912 with a 23% increase compared to the same period of the previous year. The number of non-exclusive shops also grew to over 14,000 locations. Finally, a few words on the mobile data revenues. The share of the mobile data revenues grew substantially for Avaya and constitute 10% of the total service revenues in Q1 with 92% year-over-year increase. The launch of the smartphone and tablet campaigns with competitive offers contributed both to the boost in data revenues and customer loyalty. Share of the small screen data users also grew 46% year-over-year in Q1. Now I pass to the Kaan for the financial.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. My name is Kaan Aktan and I will take you through the financial section of the presentation. I will start with page 19, which gives the P&L statement at the consolidated level. We have grown our revenues by 3% with, of course, significant contribution from our mobile business. So there will be more details to come in the coming pages to show the revenue performance from different business segments. Quarter over quarter, we see slight improvement in EBITDA margin, and now we are at 42%. Another big change going down below is coming from the financial income and expense. You'll see a big positive number here, the driver being the FX gain on our debt. So we had around 4% appreciation of Turkish lira during the first quarter of this year. So this has brought us around 200 million lira FX gain. And with that, you would remember our FX losses that we had last year. So with that impact, we've been able to recover close to 30% of that loss as of today. Of course, this will be subject to the level of the FX rate in the coming months, but this is also showing that the FX loss can be recovered. Tax line, you see a bit higher number here with the impact of the FX gain, but again, this has been a 27% and very strong growth in net income compared to prior years. So we are now on page 20 with our balance sheet. Just to give some key highlights about major variances. Other assets mainly impacted by the growth in our business and relatedly in our receivables. The other major variance comes from the other liabilities. Due to the certain calendarization and seasonality issues, we had much higher capex in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter of last year. And the settlement of the payables related to those spendings were taking place in the first quarter, and with that we had a reduction in our liabilities. Turning to page 21, our consolidated summary cash flow statement. Again, you see here the impact of the decreased accounts payable due to the settlement of the capex related payables. This is shown in the cash flow from operating activities line. Capex showed an increase in year over year, and this was in line actually with our guidance. And you can also see some seasonal impact that I just mentioned when compared to the last fourth quarter of last year. Now we are on page 22 with our consolidated summary revenue breakdown. First, you'll see that PSTN gave us only 5 million lira loss versus prior quarter. So that's a certain sign for stabilization of the revenue in that line. Data services, third line under fixed line. So data services, and this is including mainly corporate data products. Again, this has delivered a very solid growth. And let me just remind you that this group of products gave us 56% combined growth in the last 2 years. International revenues, we see some impact here related to the FX, since those are mainly euro and dollar based revenues. Lease line revenues are coming down, but this is more than compensated by the growth of the other data products. Other line includes here the revenues from our subsidiaries, the IT companies mainly, and also our call center business. Especially IT companies tend to generate a greater portion of their revenues in the fourth quarter, since they work project based. and year end for them sometimes bring important deadlines, and they complete the project in the fourth quarter. So this is why you see a drop from fourth quarter to this quarter. So on the construction revenue, or as they call it, IFRIC 12, is again a reflection of the money we spent on CAPEX, and there is certain seasonalities in that. And you see a drop from again prior quarters in this line, and that will be recovered in the coming quarters with higher or CAPEX as we spend at the planned level. All in all, fixed line revenue is flat in year over year, and just slightly lower than prior quarters. The negative variance, especially versus prior quarter, is mainly explained by the loss of revenues in our kind of secondary businesses, like the construction revenues or revenues from subsidiaries. Growth in mobile, on the other hand, is a combination of strong subscriber growth of 9% and also a 4% increase in the blended ARPU. Now we are on page 23. It's our summary OPEX breakdown. And we will have some more details on the individual pages for mobile and fixed. But the key message here is that there is 7% growth in OPEX versus last year. And we should remember the inflationary adjustment in salaries that mainly takes place in January. And also the impact of high growth in mobile revenues, which also brings some additional variable costs to the system. And compared to the last quarter, meanwhile, we even see a 3% drop, and this is meanwhile last quarter included some one of adjustments, as we all remember, especially in that deadline. Now we are on page 24. So the revenue side, I already gave some highlights in the prior pages. In terms of the EBITDA margin, we are again over that 50% line, to be exact at 51%. And this is also coming with the support of a positive outlook in our OPEX and protection of our revenues in our core businesses. Now we are on page 25 with fixed line OPEX breakdown. Just let me start with the personnel expenses, since they account for more than 40% of the fixed line OPEX. Here we see a 5% increase year over year and 7% drop quarter over quarter. We should eliminate from fourth quarter of last year the impact of the incentive payments that we reflect as one-offs last year. So in excluding that, it's a 7% growth. So both numbers again shows the inflation adjustment on salaries. International interconnection is impacted by the change in the revenues, and this is also dragged by the move in the FX rate. Maintenance and operations, we had a very tough summer this quarter, and with that there has been some seasonal impacts and lower OPEX in the first quarter. The actual receivables, again, just mentioned, we had 125 million lira adjustment last year in Q4, but even by excluding that, you will get a decrease in the doubtful expenses. Now we are on page 26 with mobile business profit and loss statement. So revenues, again, already covered. In terms of margin, EBITDA is stable at 10% versus last year. But also, this will also mean that we've grown our absolute EBITDA by 11%. So the change versus prior quarter, you see a drop here, but you should also take into account that one of OPEX adjustments that accounts for 4 percentage points of EBITDA margin last quarter. On the operating loss, again, the margin improved versus prior year. We are now at 10% loss level. CAPEX is less than the prior year and also prior quarter. Mobile business breakdown is the next page, page 27.
Domestic interconnection is a major variance, but this is directly linked to the growing business, which brings some increases also in the outgoing traffic to other operators. Doubtful receivables, one-off comes here to the picture again, but still we have a better performance adjusted with the one-offs. The other line is a big number, but this mainly includes the impact of the expansion in the network. Namely, this is including the costs like rent, lease line, outsource, etc. And the increase can be directly linked or explained by the network rollout. So next page, page 28, probably you already heard we had the announcement. Our board of directors recommended dividends of 1.9 billion or 54 kroosh per share. This means the distribution of 100% of last year's income, but of course after deducting the legal reserves. But still, this is still a 92% payout ratio. And again, of course, this recommendation will be subject to the approval of the General Assembly, which is planned for 25th of May. Last page in the financial section is page 29. It's the debt profile. Just looking at the Turkish lira equivalent of our foreign currency debt, you'll see an exact 50-50 sharing of the exposure between euro and dollar. And another key highlight is that we have 70% of our foreign currency debt with a maturity of longer than 1 year. So this completes my part with the financial. So I will turn to Onur.
We actually turn to the moderator to open it up for the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any questions at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. The first question comes from the line of Cesar Trion. Please go ahead announcing your company.
Yes, it's Morgan Stanley. I have two questions, actually. First, on the DSL. So I understand the comparison for the DSL segment is tough compared to 2011 because you made a major price increase in 2011. But still, the ARPU is not growing. So I was wondering, even with the price increase you've made in April, how you can meet your guidance if the net additions in the DSL segment aren't going to accelerate? That's the first question. And second, on the PSTN, looking at it, looking at the revenues on a year-on-year basis, indeed it seems that the decline in revenues somewhat improved compared to Q4, but it's still declining 6%. Don't you feel you necessarily have to increase prices of PSTN as well at a later stage in 2012? To basically meet your guidance of 6-8% top line growth. Thank you very much.
The second question. Thank you for your question. The second question first. We are contemplating this. We are still undecided. We're contemplating this. There is about maybe a part of this 6% decline. There was a change where part of the revenue on PSTN is now reported in the wholesale. You know, so we haven't decided yet on that. But that's always one of the weapons we have in our arsenal. Now, the commitment that we have given the customers the last year and a half or 2 years is that any price increase that we will make, it will be an inflationary price adjustment less than the inflation level, and then number two, it will always come with a value add. We need to give them something for that. For the first question, I think if we look at overall for the group revenue, we are still sticking to our guidance. We think that there is room for the upsell. There is part of the broadband that's now under TT, which is the locum, so you have to look at the uptake of the all of the broadband subscribers, and you'll see that there is an increase. Actually, we had a very good quarter compared to the last 3 years on adding broadband, acquiring broadband subscribers. And maybe we can give you also a small glimpse of our fiber in the next question. But we think that with the inflationary adjustment in DSL, with the launch of fiber, there is potential for TV upgrade. There is a potential for IPTV and TV boo upgrade. There's also a potential for upselling in general because of this speed. So we are working on this plan, and we are looking at the overall revenues for the group. And this is something that has taken us a large part of our time for planning this. For Q1, we just wanted to make sure that it's been a tough quarter, and these quarters happen. We have an increase of a solid increase of 3%, which is the total for 2010, increase. Remember, last year we had an inorganic part of a growth. So we are still behind our 6 to 8% revenue guidance. Do you like to add something, Rembe, or leave it to another question?
I'm for Kiestel, I can add a few words. This was the second question. Hello, this is Rembe Demircan, CMO of Türk Telekom. Regarding PSTN, actually, we were happy with quarter one, as we have higher ARPU, we have higher MOU. Our MOU was on the level of 101 in the third quarter. This quarter is close to 110, 108 minutes. And we have stable revenue compared to fourth quarter. As Hakan Bey said, actually some of the revenue is now reported in wholesale, so the decline is less than 6% actually when you look at the whole PSTN revenues. We had a lot of initiatives in retention, in reactive offers, in proactive offers, and the perception of this was very positive in the field as well. And we start offering this locum, which is free internet for PSTN, is an important added value. And of course, also some of the analysts also saw that yesterday we made a very important launch together with Avaya, which probably we'll discuss later on during mobile as well, that now PSTN and mobile is offered together in a very important offer, and we believe it has a very important value for retention of PSTN.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Jean-Charles Lemard. Please go ahead, announcing your company.
Hey, Jean-Charles Lemard from JP Morgan. Just going back on the question on ADSL and 240,000 net additions for the quarter is a very good number, obviously. But how much came from the locum, if any? If any of those net adds came from locum, what's the proportion, basically? And to go back on the earlier question, you mentioned that the upsell continued, and we see that in the numbers, for instance, the unlimited offer, going up as a share of the base. But still, actually, the ARPU has gone down year over year since the first quarter last year. So is there something else going on? Have you got more of a shift towards wholesale rather than retail? Is that what's keeping the ARPU down a bit? So, yeah, those would be the first questions.
No, not really. For the second. I'm
again talking at the wrong microphone. So, okay. Look, not really. There's nothing happening in the background. In the background, we are very busy with our fiber and our locum products. We're busy with the home passes. We've now reached 1 million home passes, fiber home passes, which is impressive. But there's no shift in strategy. It is a tough quarter, very aggressive quarter. We don't expect that ARPU is going to keep growing quarter on quarter, year on year, forever. I know we got you used to that, and we want to continue that trend definitely. But, things like that happen. Now, the focus of management was to maintain, contain the OPEX so that we can reach our EBITDA targets. We are happy that we have also exceeded our expectations for the net income, and it also shows that we're doing something right there. on the net income. So now we are looking at the ADSL inflationary price adjustment coming into effect, higher broadband subscriber base over 7 million, the upsell including TV Boo, IPTV, and Web TV, potential PSTN inflationary price adjustment, bundled products we've just launched yesterday, the first bundled product of its kind where you will be rewarded, you and I, everybody else in Turkey, will be rewarded for PSTN, for having the PSTN. So, and for 19 liras, you can have a very strong offering from Avea if you have a PSTN line. So remember, to our group, you have to add the price of the fixed plus the price of mobile. And we're here showing flexing muscles, showing that we are here, we are going to be working as a group, as a unit in bundled products. So we are very optimistic about this. And last but not least is our corporate initiative. If you look at how our corporate segment is growing, and we are doing a lot of consolidated work, and when I say consolidated work, it is we are bringing the mobile, the fixed, the ADSL together under one umbrella, under one leadership, and they are knocking on the doors and changing the paradigm in that domain. And we have grown 20% last year. We want to grow this year also, over 20% last year. We want to grow this year. We have good news on Assist, which is our call center. We have won the biggest health ministry tender, which is about 100 million liras for 2 years. We will see an impact of about 40 million liras, 38 to 40 million liras this year on the top line. So the revenue traction is very important to us, and it's not something that we are forgetting, or we are, it's something that we're working on. And as I said, we're still looking at the 6 to 8% guidance for the end of year.
Yeah.
Now, for the subscribers, I'm sorry, you asked about Locum and overall ADSL. Locum is very successful. Also, RMB would like to give you an idea about fiber, maybe in another question. But we cannot discern or dissect the 7 million into the different categories. So this is where we are now, and we are happy that we are gaining traction on this. And again, I emphasize it's one of our highest quarters of broadband uptake since 2008.
Yeah, it's the highest in 2 years, but how many, just to be curious to know what impact Locum had on that, because obviously you're not getting the same kind of revenue from Locum subscribers.
A good impact on that, but we cannot divide or discern between the number. Onur Bey is always throwing things at me now and asking me that, you know, not to comment.
Okay, so maybe just the last question on the mobile side. If we look at your cost trends, the one area that seems to be hurting your margins the most maybe is interconnect, where that's inflating quite quickly. And what do you think the outlook for, you know, bringing that under control is for improving the interconnect balance?
I don't have a particular input about the interconnect, but overall, look, as we always say, this is a tough market. If we want to see a significant and this all the market of the EBITDA margins are, even for the incumbent, it's not the normal margins. We are taxed at three levels. We have a very aggressive competition, there is an upside in the future for the mobile, because there's low penetration, but something is going to give to see a significant increase in all of our EBITDA margins. Now, in particular to Avea, we're very proud of what they're doing. They've grown 12%. They're at the point where we want them in terms of profitability. They're increasing their ARPU, increasing their postpaid. They are giving us a good engine for growth. Deshanbe, CMO of Avea, wants to add something.
Yeah. Hi, this is Deshan from Avea. the interconnection cost is very much related with the incoming revenues. So if you want to see the balance, you should also take into consideration about the incoming revenues of Avia, which is actually quadrupled, almost quadrupled year over year.
Almost quadrupled. So the balance, what's it done, the balance? Has it improved? Has it deteriorated? Is it negative, positive?
I think now it's becoming more positive compared with the last year. I don't have the exact numbers with me now, but the overall picture is more positive than last year.
Okay, maybe I'll follow up later. Thank you.
Okay.
Next question comes from the line of Atink Otskan. Please go ahead announcing your company.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Credit Suisse, Atink. Two questions, please. The first one is regarding government's online project, Fatih. Has there been any developments so far? And can you provide us an update on where we are regarding negotiations with the ministry on this? What will be the scope of a potential contract and duration, if you can? And my second question is a follow-up on your fiber transformation. Given that you have already surpassed 1 million home passes, what has been the take-up up until now? Or in other words, what percentage of the current broadband customers are fiber users? Thank you.
For the question, the first question first, I have no update on the Fatih project. It's a government project. It's not a TT project. As us and other players, we are waiting to be led in terms of the process. The last thing that happened was that the president approved after the parliament. The president approved the new law. This happened last week, and this is where we are. But as I said, we are watching, and the government and the telecommunication education ministry are the ones leading that. We are mere suppliers for them. Number two, yes, very impressive. We've started the home passes. We've reached a good number. We've only started transforming, selling fiber about 6 weeks ago. So we've reached a good number. Erembe can give us a highlight on that number. And we started 6 weeks ago. So let's see what we have to announce for you.
Okay, Hakan Bey, thank you. As Hakan Bey said, we started home passes, of course, much earlier in previous year, but commercially we start offering fiber at the locations we brought fiber about 6 weeks ago, and we had a very impressive number of, we believe, 70,000 fiber subscribers already by the end of first quarter, and the number increasing is every day, as many of our friends already recognize that we are offering fiber services at higher speeds compared to ADSL at no cost for the subscriber. So we are having a conversion, and then our strategy is to upsell first to higher capacity packages and then unlimited packages, and also we'll be offering upselling to higher speeds. At the moment, the entry-level speed is 20 megabits, but we also have offers of 35, 50, and 100 megabit speeds. And also, at the locations where we offer fiber, we have our TVBu IPTV offer, and we see that the uptake of TVBu is also speeding up, and we have aggressive plans for this in the coming parts of the year as well.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Just a clarification, maybe. So, any potential contract in Fatih is currently not part of your 2012 guidance, right?
Tough question to answer, but the answer is no, it's not.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Our next question comes from the line of Sean Dillon. Please go ahead announcing your company.
Hi guys, Sean Dillon here from Barclays. A couple of questions on your PSTN business. Could you just quantify the impact of moving the wholesale revenues or some revenues from PSTN to wholesale? You mentioned this earlier. And secondly, I believe it was on your last conference call, you said you were confident of PSTN revenue growth in 2012 in line with the negative 3% in 2011. We've already seen negative 6% this quarter. Are you still confident of being able to achieve a negative 3% figure for the full year? And if so, how will you get there? Thanks.
Okay, the first question, I don't want to say one number, but it would be a little less than 6%. On Q on Q, if you want to give Rema an idea about that, and I will come back to you and tell you how we want to maintain it for the year.
Now, regarding this revenue of taking from PSTN to wholesale, it's about the native DSL offers. So we are right now discussing about this reporting, but we just wanted to mention this to you that it has been taken out from PSTN and brought into wholesale revenues. We don't want to disclose it now. When we decide, we'll disclose it. Regarding minus 3%, last year it was minus 3%, as you would recall. At the moment, it is on the level of 6%, but we always have the tool of making a price, inflationary price adjustment. So for this reason, we do not change our expectation. Just to make maybe the calculation easier for you, our naked DSL subscribers are now above 300,000, and you also know the price of the naked DSL as well.
Okay, now this is a battle for us. Remember that we are fighting a very strong trend, especially when the aggressive, very competitive mobile side, and we are always seem to be surprised and amazed about always the next quarter of what can happen on that market, and that's why we have put this program where we are rewarding the PSTN by Avaya, because you know we want to show that we are heading towards the stronger bundles, that we are heading towards protection of our base, but also growing Avaya, and we want to send the signal to the market that we are trying to consolidate all the marketing and sales efforts so we can be more agile. And you know, these are the targets that we set for ourselves. We set high targets and high expectations, and these are the tools that we are going to do them. Remember, there were a lot of projects in Q1 that we started in Q4. We also have to make sure that the service level is there, adding value when we are doing an inflationary price adjustment. So we are at a point where we have to reflect to the market that we can work together and consolidate our marketing and sales effort. And hence, this is what we have done yesterday. Now, we want to make sure that we are protecting the PSTN, doing the best we can, but sometimes we'll win, other times we will lose. We have to keep our eye on the end of year. We have to keep our eye on the revenue traction, and that's what we are doing. And this is the professional answer I can give you.
Okay, so but taking that all into account, you're still happy with your target of around negative 3% for the full year?
No. I think that this target, when you're talking about the revenue,
the PSTN revenue growth. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about. I don't know if we have put a target like that. I don't think there is no target like that. So that's why, and I want to be sure. So now I'm getting all the no's from everybody around. So I'm confident that I'm right about this. Maybe you have read it between the lines when we said that on Q3 on Q4 that we want to see that this trend is going to be a little bit better on Q1, but we've never really put a percentage or an amount that we stick with. And I was just explaining, I'm explaining now how the revenue traction and what we're trying to do with the revenue traction so that we can reach our guidance for the group in 2012.
Okay, cheers guys, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Dalibor Babrushka. Please go ahead, announcing your company.
Hello, this is Dalibor from Citigroup. Just a few questions, if I may. About this PSTN mobile bundle, I actually have quite high expectations about this, but I'm wondering, has there been any regulatory clearance for that? Are there any risks that the regulator may step in and say that this may not be allowed or put some restrictions on this? The second question is about your fiber. You mentioned you got 70,000 subscribers. I just wanted to check, is that 100 megabits per speed available to those 70,000, or are they different groups of as far as speed is concerned? And the third question is about...
can we, Dalibor, yeah, sure. Sorry, can we answer the first two and then you give
yes,
us
yes,
the
please.
Third one?
Thank
just
you.
To remember.
The short
answer for two is yes. For the first one, I just want to interject some ideas. First of all, we did not start this the mobile and these programs in Q1. This happened only yesterday, so we are not really... championing any of these aggressiveness, but we have to react. Like I always say, it's a vicious cycle. Everybody is part of it, but there has to be discipline from the incumbent or the leader, whether it's in ADSL or in mobile. Now, for this particular one, we are doing it very arm's length, because we're very sensitive about these issues and we want to go by good governance, by all the regulatory rulings. So until now, we haven't heard of any of the regulatory. Plus, it's an Avaya package. It's an Avaya price, which is unregulated other than our price. And we've made it in a way that, you know, we want to make sure that we are abiding by the regulatory and, as I said, arm's length in that. But I just wanted to say that this is our answer, is that we're not crushing the prices, because remember, this is to us a heavy price, because you have to add the 19 and add also the price that you pay for the fixed. So our group is maintaining that, but we want to show how strong we can be when we act as a group, when we're working as a group, when we're using our strengths in the market. And this is much better than just doing something on the mobile side that would just enhance further dilution of the prices. Now, your third question, please.
Just the follow-up on this. I mean, in terms of mobile market share, I mean, I understand, obviously, you're saying that the whole market is aggressive and, you know, the players can blame each other. But, you know, clearly you are aggressive as well, and I'm just trying to understand your rationale behind this. Are you targeting an increase in your market share, in your revenue, or better, EBITDA market share? And then if so, I mean, are you getting it? And if not, what sort of options are you considering for it? Because at the moment, it seems to me that you're not dramatically increasing your market share, but the whole market is getting more and more competitive. So I'm just wondering what is the way out of it. I mean, either you will start getting that market share, or you'd have to, would you continue even without gaining that market share, or you know, what options are you thinking about?
Well, I want to refer you to Dehshan and Erkan to give you maybe a little bit about some of the programs that happened in Q1, because I have to disagree a little bit. I think that this, again, it's not an instigation of Avaya. But I want to stress for the millionth time, when there is aggressiveness in the market, when there is a price war, everybody is part of it. The responsibility lies on the market leader, on the incumbent, who can put a value to themselves. And that's what we are doing in ADSL, and we're taking some blame for it, but we have to do it because we don't want to destroy the value of the market. And we're actually doing some inflationary price adjustments for that. Now, of course, this is going to be a mobile disruption. It has the elements of that, but it also has a good impact on us, because on the group, because you have to pay for the PSTN. But just to give you an idea,
Deshambe, if you can take us through this quarter, that the, you know, some of the prices that were put on the market and from the different companies.
Hello again. Mm-hmm. What actually Avea tried to do this quarter, in the beginning of this quarter, we tried to increase the prices that we acquire customers, the acquisition prices of Avea. But in return, what we actually faced in the market was an aggressive prepaid action from Vodafone, which actually took the market about 2 years ago, where there were all free minutes for reloading. That was the first actually disruptive action of quarter one. It's followed by Turkcell's opening its acquisition prices, acquisition packages to its current subscribers, to the mobile number portability offers, and the acquisition offers were available for all the Turkcell subscribers. And followed by that, again, Turkcell started to acquire customers at lower prices than Avea did. For instance, for the lowest minute bundle, all directional, in the market, was 1,400 minutes, 19 lira by Avea. But Turkcell launched a local campaign which actually enabled them to sell 500 minutes for 19 lira. And on top of that, they actually launched a new campaign, a TV Plus campaign, and it has been on the air about 2 weeks now, 21 liras for 500 minutes. So it's not about the numbers and the details and the bundle minutes, but the incumbent on TV and talking about mobile number portability is a huge pressure for us. So we had to respond, and we could have responded by ourselves. We actually have the ability and the capability to do that. But responding, beyond responding, we had to make a new way for the group, and we preferred to launch this bundle product instead.
Where are we going with this? Because you also asked where are we going with this. Look, for Avea, ARPU is increasing. We're adding net subscribers. And this is the litmus test. This is our litmus test for smart growth. As long as we are not doing it at the cost of a dramatic drop in EBITDA, This is where we want to be. We want to look at EBITDA, make sure that we are where our targets are. Now, is there a strategy where you can do something in this market where EBITDA is going to double, or we can go close to the average of where the other markets are in terms of EBITDA margin? The answer is no. As I said, something is going to give. We either have some of the upside that we're always talking about, whether it's the frequency, whether it is the taxes, whether it's the lower pressure on the prices. But as of now, this is where we're going. And you will see that every quarter we're having the net additions, and we're also having the protecting our ARPU, and our blended ARPU is the highest in the market. And that's our litmus test. If you look at some of the things that we've done also, Dalibor, like increasing our 3G base stations, increasing our exclusive dealers. What Avea has done the last 7 or 8 months, total overall, I mean, of these dealers, we went from east to west, from one side completely to the other. The cross-sale points between Avea and TTNet and TT have increased dramatically. This is the smart growth that we are trying to follow in the market. So it's not, and I fully agree with what Deshambe has said. He said, you know what, it's not about nickeling and diming. We're just giving you examples of the pressures that we are facing from the incumbent. And we pick our battles, and there are some times where we just simply don't answer because we know that our answer is going to be backfire. We just answer when we have to and the way that will make us win.
Okay, maybe just a very little follow-up, if I can. I think in the previous conference call, the Turkcell CEO kind of indicated their unhappiness about the price aggression. And if I remember, I hope I'm not misinterpreting him, he said that basically they'd be willing to increase their prices if their competitors do. Would you say something like that as well?
I can't mention on this is now you're taking we're borderline illegal when I say something like
Oh, yeah, okay.
Delibor, you are, but look,
we follow the leader. We want, if the leader has the highest quality, we want to have the highest quality. If the leader has the highest value giving to the customers, we want to have the highest value given to the customers. If the leader is fighting a price war with a price, we have to go. I mean, we are number three. We are the teenagers, the strong, youthful teenagers. But we have to look at where the item. But you need to ask yourself, what happened when there was a slight increase on the taxes, for instance, where the customer has paid the last in the third quarter of last year? You'll see that Vodafone and Avaya have followed the same, you know, pursued the same thing. So I think, but again, we need to see what the competition does on the ground, not only what the competition says, Dalibor. And we've given some examples of what is happening. And we're thinking and rethinking and thinking how we can gain our smart growth targets by not fighting this battle. So we are moving to corporate. We are integrating how we are thinking in terms of how we are selling corporate under one umbrella. We're moving to see how we can also do something with the TT. So this way we are also protecting our PSTN and giving a reward for our PSTN subscribers. We're trying to come up with creative ways on how to answer the market challenges without a mere just, you know, my price is lower than thou.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Dalibor.
And our next question comes from the line of Vera Satedja. Please go ahead and announce your company.
Hi, my questions were all already answered. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Abin Kim. Please go ahead and announce your company.
Good afternoon. Two questions from our side, please. First, on the fixed broadband, did the competitive dynamics change in the first quarter compared to last year? And the second one on the improvement of the fixed EBITDA margin, what was the reason for that? Because there was no price increase, but Q on Q improvement. So what was the reason for Q on Q improvement in the margin? Thank you.
Can you repeat the first question, please?
Sure. The first one was on the competitive dynamics. So basically, has the fixed broadband market become more competitive than last year?
Yeah. If that's the question, we have tremendous competition from 3G, of course. If you know that, if any country in the world, if you look at the benchmarks, when 3G is introduced after ADSL has been introduced, especially the first year, the first 2 years, you will see in the introduction stage and growth stage of 3G, there's a lot of price pressure on ADSL, and this is, we don't want, we're very weary of playing that game. I don't want to end up just doing another price war there. So these are the dynamics, and this is where you need to make the choice, the mature choice of the market leader of how to compete, and at the same time make sure that you are not doing a knee-jerk reaction that will hurt for the future. But of course, if you look at the 3G offerings and that, we are talking about another price point on its own. And the second question,
thanks a lot for this call on 3G, but actually I meant more ADSL and fiber. So basically, because Turkcell has the super inline product now, and I think it makes sense for them to expand into retail. So I was just wondering whether they are doing that, or maybe any of the alternative operators are doing that at the moment.
Hello, this is Aram Demircan again. Like ADSL, all fixed line products, fixed line broadband products, fiber is a product that we offer as wholesale, and any ISP who signs a contract with us can sell fiber. of course, that is fiber on our network. Of course, the decision is on the ISP itself. So Super Online will decide in the future if they would like to use our network to offer fiber services to their customers. But regularly, we are coming together with all the ISPs, having meetings with them to improve the fixed line broadband market in Turkey. And Super Online is part of those meetings as well. But as long as we know, they didn't decide yet.
And we will continue to show the same level of, I think, even-headedness and maturity that we've shown in the market of broadband so far. Because remember, our network in fiber is going to be in fiber it is fiber to the cabinet. If you include that, it's the biggest in the nation, and it is it will be in fiber to the home and fiber to the building by the end of this year. And we are in 81 cities, and we are in. This is our motivation: is that to be everywhere, to be in the 81 cities, to make the service, because this is also part of our responsibility. So we have to. We have the most to lose, and that's why we have to remain mature about this, and we think of these things calmly. And we are going to compete and always compete. And I want to stress what Arembe has said, that the choice is yours. Anytime they would want, it's up to them to use our network or not. But we are not going to respond to price pressure. And we want to make sure that we are giving high value to the customers, giving value-added services, and maintain our course. So you know, this is our response.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. The second question was on the reason for quarter on quarter margin improvement in the fixed line business. Basically, what was the reason for that in absence of ADSL price increase, which was transferred to second quarter? Thank you.
You want
to answer that?
Yes, this is Kaan. I mean,
you like to answer the easy questions, Kaan Bey.
Yes,
now you're going to answer why you open this better. Okay, thank you.
So you see a small drop in the revenues versus last quarter, but I mentioned in my section that comes from the lower margin areas or secondary businesses for us. So that even impact that gives a positive impact on the margin. Secondly, probably that's the part that Hakan Bey will intervene, and we are trying to be smart and we are trying to spend effectively in our capex, so in our opex. So we are looking also in all sorts of opportunities, and obviously we had the results in the first quarter, so that focus will be in place in the coming quarters as well. So we'll be a smart spender in that area. So would you like to add anything?
Yes, thank you, Kambe. This is very precise what you said, and I think it's always there is always room for being prudent on your OPEX, especially when you are as big as Turk Telecom, and again in 81 cities. So I think the CEOs of our group, especially the CEO of TT, has done a fabulous job with his team in terms of controlling this OPEX and coming with a little less than below expectations. Please note that we started the year by inflationary adjustment for the salaries, which we have to do every year. Yet, a big push by the group CFO also and the TT CEO to maintain control over how we spend OPEX and why. How and also why. And as Kaan Bey said, this is an activity that we are going to pursue the whole year. There's always it's always a good time to become a little bit more efficient, and there is room for that.
Yeah, sorry. Can I follow up on this? Can you please just maybe elaborate on a couple of costs that you basically optimized?
Sorry.
A couple of cost items that you optimized.
Am I allowed to say this, Norbe? What do you want?
Did you provide this?
Provide it? you have some of the personnel. There is a number of personnel. We had a very successful last year a program and initiative incentive for those our older gentlemen and who've been, I mean, in terms of their experience in TT. So a lot of these people have taken this initiative. We have, if you see the maintenance and operations, and on the commercial side, we have done a good job in controlling the costs there, and we are going to continue to do this. And with, I think, with integration and consolidation coming together as a team and units, I think we are going to gain more OPEX efficiencies. So these are the examples.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we appear to have no further questions at this time. And the conference back to you.
No more questions, right?
There's no more questions on the phone.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and goodbye.